You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We're calling today Gratitude Sunday, so the title of the message is just Thankful, and I'm going to share from my heart. If you do have the app, you can follow. There's a couple of fill-in-the-blanks there under the message tab if you'd like to do that, but I just want to speak to you, half testimony of what God has brought us through this year, half, you know, a couple of nuggets of encouragement that I want to give you today, but we're so glad that you're here with us. I still have my notes because, you know, I always like to prepare, but I'll be just sharing from my heart today. This has been a year of victory. This has been a year of progress. This has been a year of God's blessing, but also it has been a year of challenges. It has been a year of difficulty for me personally, for us at the house, and, you know, every time you run an organization, there are some challenges that will come with it. But it has been a year of victory. And when we started the year, you remember the mission, the word for the year was that this is the year to grow stronger. And when we felt that word, when God, typically this is the season where we pray for the word for the next year. I already sense in my heart a word for the next year so we can focus together as a church. But as you know, I received that word last year for 2019, the year to grow stronger. I had a picture of what that would look like as the year unfolded, right? I thought of words like discipline and hard work and harvest and increase and God's breakthrough in people's lives, in your lives. And as it turned out, it was a little bit differently than that. And I personally, you know, realized that it has been a year of reflection, a year of tests, a year of trials, a year of challenges. And the lesson that I've learned, the lesson that we've learned as a church, is what I shared with you last week, that growth is a commitment to conquer resistance. Growth is that. It's your commitment to marry the division, to embrace what God has told you that He was going to do, to just know what you sense down in here. I'm not talking about just anything that you're supposed to do or that you want to do. I'm talking about like when you have a conviction of what God wants to do through you, is that commitment to conquer every resistance. And there's a connection between gratitude and sacrifice, because anything you're truly grateful for has cost you something. Anything that you can think about that you're truly grateful for, the things that mean something to you, they have cost you something. You have sacrificed for them. And, you know, at the beginning of this year, we Dante and I led a Connect group. You met Dante. He was here earlier. And we led a Connect group for men. It was a men's group that ran in our spring season. And we went through a book called Fathered by God. And just going through that journey kind of messed me up a little bit, because in that season I turned 37, right? And I've always been a little bit precocious about the age seasons that I go through. So to me, 37 was more like 40, right? And I'm going like, my gosh, you know, I'm that close to 40. So I've had a few realizations. It's not that I'm looking down on 40. I'm excited for 40. I remember feeling that way when I was 28 till 28 about my 30s. I was looking forward to 30s, but also realizing some of the changes and reflecting on what that meant for me back then, right? Aside from all the amazing things, we realized we didn't have any kids when we were 28 yet. That was the season of parenthood. 30s was the season of parenthood. And then also thinking about what God would do. And in that season is when God put the seed of this church in our heart. So we moved here. We went through the process about 2 years of thinking about moving here. We moved here, planted the church when I was 32 years old. And now, you know, at 37, I was having these realizations. And you know, I realized this year, that I'm no longer the youngest guy in the room. I told this to a few friends and they were like, yeah, we knew that, JD. We knew that. No, but like, I'm the youngest of three brothers. I have a younger sister, but I've always been, my circle has always been of people older than me. I have no problem being around people who are better than me, who know more than me, who can teach me the ways, you know. So that has been my life all along. I've always been surrounded by people who are older, wiser, and I'm more comfortable in that setting. I like having friendships with people who are older. But I realize that in this season of life, you know, God has surrounded us with people from a younger generation that we are meant to pour into. So it was a moment of reflection in the beginning of the year, even as how we shape the ministry and how we move. Also, a second thing that I realized is that my dad turned 70 this year. And I love my dad. He's a great guy. And I've learned a lot from him. He's a pastor as well. He planted a church, the church that I grew up in as well. And some of you know I wasn't born in this country. And, you know, I had to leave out of a call of God. And I'm not a victim of this, but I left my hometown. I left my country and moved here. And I'm the only person here. And, like I said, I'm not a victim. It was my choice. I didn't have to move. I didn't have to leave. Nobody to leave. Nobody made me leave. I came here pursuing a call of God. And I realized this year that it has cost us so much. And it was my decision, but it has had a great cost. And it's been almost 20 years now. And I'm sure that, you know, if I were to ask you about your story, if I were to ask you about your life, and if you pause right now and you look back, not only 2019, but you look back 5 years, you look back 10 years, you can tell me a similar story of something that you did, decisions that you made, things that you had to walk away from in pursuit of God's dream, in pursuit of something that you felt like you needed to do. And that has cost you something. Some of you have moved here from a different state, a different city, maybe even a different country. Some of you were born and raised in this town. You're Stamford bred, you're Fairfield County, you know, blood in your veins. But you've also had to leave things. You've had to make sacrifices, had to leave relationships, careers. Wherever you might be, you will realize today that anything worthy of sacrifice is connected to gratitude. Or anything worthy of gratitude, I flipped the words. Anything worthy of gratitude is connected to sacrifice. It's connected to the price that you had to pay. If not your sacrifice, the sacrifice of your benefactor. Some of you, you're grateful for blessings that God brought through somebody else. Well, they had to make a sacrifice to bless you. There's a beautiful story of love, sacrifice, and worship in a short text in 2 Samuel. And the writer is recounting on some of the feats of David's great men. And David had people around him, even before he became king, that did amazing things, warriors, people that were noble. And there's this short little 3-verse story that recounts what these three men did that's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. David was in a stronghold called the Cave of Adullam. And he was there hiding from the enemy. The enemy was in the valley. They didn't know where David was, but they were hunting him down. They were coming against him. And he was hiding with some people. And the Philistines were taking the valley all the way to the gate of Bethlehem. And there were three men that went through the enemy camp and made their way to David. Without giving away where David was, they found a way to get to David. And when they got to David, scripture says that he said this. This is where we pick up in the scripture, 2 Samuel 23, verses 15 and 7 through 17. And David said longingly, "Oh, that someone would give me water to drink from the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate." Then the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and carried and brought it to David. But he would not drink of it. He poured it out to the Lord and said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Shall I drink the blood of the men who went at the risk of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things the three mighty men did. What a beautiful gesture. David needed that water. He was probably dehydrated. He was longing for that water. And these men, to honor their leader, to honor the men that they were serving, decided to risk their lives and go get what he desired, what he was longing for. And they brought him the water, probably so happy, probably so joyous to serve their leader. And David sees that gesture, that offering, that gesture of love, of sacrifice. And he says, no, it's not for me. He could have said, I'm the man. Yeah, I'm your leader. Awesome that you did this. Next time, I expect you to do it again. No. His heart was so tender toward God. His devotion to God was so sincere that he said, I'm not going to take this offering for myself. I'm not going to take this glory for myself. I'm not going to take this honor for myself. Lord, this honor is yours. I'm giving you this water. He needed it. He not only wanted it. It wasn't a want. It was a need. And he gave it to God out of his sacrifice. I think that's genuine gratitude right there. When you pray for something, you want something, and God blesses you with that something, and you decide to honor God with it. You decide to give God what he has given you. That is true sacrifice. That is true gratitude. This is just a simple story that shows us how gratitude and sacrifice are connected. This is something else I learned this year as well, is that what you give to God and what you give to others is what really remains with you. What really remains with you, what stays with you, is what you give to God and others. And I have an example in my life that I can share with you. We lived in Texas for many years. And in Houston, we bought two homes. We bought a home when we got there, probably 2.5 years after we got there, we bought a home. And it was far. It was in the suburbs, about an hour to get to our home from our jobs. And we just bought a home because we wanted to buy a home. We were young, you know, 20 years old. So we bought the home. We don't miss that home. And I'll tell you why we don't miss that home. Because it was a lot of work to keep up, and we weren't able to share it with anybody. It was too far for friends to come up. Families didn't really visit because we were just tucked away. And we were going to work and coming home and sleeping on our bed and having breakfast, and it was okay. But we don't really miss it. Now, we bought a second home a few years later. That home was in town. That home was near our job, near the church. I could see downtown from my bedroom. It was a town home. Marquise remembers. She was there many times. That home we miss. We miss the sense of community in that home. Why? Because we made it a home, not just for us. It was a home where we had our first daughter. It was a home where we had connect groups. People would come over to have dinner almost every week. A couple times a week we had people over. And we had our family over. Our brother-in-law and our sister-in-law lived with us for a little while. And we loved it. We loved just using that and making that an environment where we could share with others. And that's what really stayed with us. We sold the home. God blessed us that we could sell it and move here with some money in our savings account. But what we miss about it is not the structure, is not the fireplace, is not the three floors and the three bedrooms with bathrooms or whatever it was, you know, the nice location. What we miss is what we used it for. And if you think about your life, if you think about right now what you're grateful for, I'm sure that there's no offering of gratitude that you have that you can think about that hasn't cost you something. Even the things that you can remember now, if you think back what you have given God, what you have given others, it has cost you something. It has cost you your devotion. But there's nothing that you will give God, there's nothing that you will give others that will not return to you in blessings. If it's not the building up of your soul, of your heart, it's what God will do with that seed. You know, and as God leads you somewhere, as he gives you ideas, resources, connections, you know, it won't happen without sacrifice. It will not happen without you counting the cost and realizing that it's going to take some sacrifice. You know, if you move somewhere or you just got here or, you know, you've been here and you're wondering how are things going to unfold, you're going to have to fight some battles. And maybe you look back at 2019 and you realize that you fought more battles than you expected. You've had some challenges that you did not expect, that they sprung up on you. But look at you. Here you are, victorious. because God has given you the victory. I think about this church, you know, the entire launch process of this church for us, a lot of things happened that we didn't expect. I think the main one is the fact that my wife got pregnant with twins. She was a blessing, but it was a high-risk pregnancy because both kids were in the same amniotic sac, and early in the pregnancy, they twisted because, you know, they move around. If you know them, you know that, you know, they were just like that in the womb, you know, just running around. And the umbilical cords got all twisted and tangled, and we could see it in the ultrasound early in the pregnancy, and the doctors were really, really worried because two things. They split so late in the pregnancy that the doctor said, a few days apart here, if they split early, they'll be fine. But if they split a little later, they might be missing organs. And they might just die before they are born. So we have to watch it very closely. Secondly, if they tug too much on that umbilical cord, then it might be that they will block nutrition. And if they don't get nutrition, they won't develop. So the whole process of the pregnancy took tension, took faith. But guess what? We were planting a church during that process. We were like envisioning what God was going to do in this city. Like that was why we came. That was why we moved here. And now, you know, I'm not going to say we got sidetracked because that's more important. But now we're having to fight these two battles. Whatever God promises, whatever God told you that he's going to do, whatever sense you have in your heart that your life is meant for, is not going to come without battles. But if you fight it, you will see the victory on the other side. This year alone, I didn't expect to fight some of the battles that I fought, some health battles. You know, I came down with a severe case of vertigo in the summer and didn't know why it was happening. And it took me out for 3 days. I couldn't even come to church on a Sunday. And it wrecked me. And on the following Monday, I'm like, I'm seeing everybody that I can see because I can't. It just can't affect me that much. And so I saw some doctors. They still don't have a conclusive diagnosis. But you know, all I know is that I'm living with no salt in my diet because it was a problem of dietary problem. But he also said you need to sleep more because you're not sleeping enough. It's too much stress, and you got to lay off and exercise a little more. And all things that I should be doing anyways. But that, you know, just the fight kind of takes you out, and then no caffeine, you guys. I made fun of people who drink tea, and now I'm making fun of myself because I'm a tea drinker now. No caffeine. I've been off caffeine for like 4 months, all to avoid, you know, any case of dizziness and any disorientation. One of the Sundays, I started my message on a stool here because I was a little bit. I'm fine now, but it, you know, it's just. I was fighting through it, and I'm claiming healing in Jesus' name. Yeah, I'm believing for it, and I'm claiming it, and I know that God is going to come through, and because it was right during a season where we felt like we needed to pray for healing and recovery for everybody here. And you might have had some health battles this year, because I feel like we're a body, right? We're a body of believers, and there's some trends, and I that same week, it was just such a tough week, was the same week that we said goodbye to our dear D, and there was a few things that happened that week. And I sense in my spirit there was something spiritual, part of the journey that we're going through as a church. But God is developing us. God is bringing us through. You know, we've had tremendous victories as a church this year. Victories in people's stories. You heard some stories here. But people's stories, deliverance, you know, things that we have seen in our connect groups and in our services. But it's been a tough year as an organization as well. You know, we had plans to do so much. We still gave away nearly $10,000 so far in missions, which is great, right? It's great. It's what you have done. But we had to pull back on some things because we had planned for more. And we had to pull back on some things because of some difficulties that we had. And I'm saying this to let you know that we're all in this together. I'm there with you, you know. I carry the weight of this organization on my shoulders. I chose to step into this position. I'm not a victim to it. But I carry the weight of this organization on my shoulders. And I, too, rely on God. I, too, put my faith in God. So every time I'm up here teaching from the scriptures, I'm not teaching from a higher platform. This is just so you guys can see me. I'm right there with you at the same level. You know, believing for breakthrough, believing that God is going to bring his promises through. And I got to tell you, God has sustained us this year. God has given us victory. And I hope that you can reflect right now on the goodness of God over your life, whatever you've been going through, whatever you have gone through this year. And you can see that God has brought you here. It might have not been the year that you expected, or maybe it was even better than you expected. Whatever spectrum you're in, how good has God been that you're here and he has brought you here? And because he has been so good, how can we come to his presence and just ask for more every time? How can we come to his presence and not bring him our worship, not bring him our gratitude, not offer him our everything? See, today is Gratitude Sunday. I don't know about you, but you know, for me, this is not simply a tip of the hat and saying, hey, thanks, God. You've kind of been nice to me. No, this is, I owe him my life. I can't think of anything in my life that would have happened without the presence of God. My marriage wouldn't have happened. My kids wouldn't have been born. Nothing would have happened without the presence of God. I'm just a kid from Pirabeiraba, Brazil. You know, but since I was a little boy, you know, through every pit and every peak, God has been there. And I hope that you have that sense in your heart too. Every victory I've had, I don't take credit for it. It was God's hand. It was the Holy Spirit's voice in my ear, guiding me, saying, you know what, JD, keep going. You're going to make it. Slow down. Stop drinking. Time to go home, JD. This is not your crew. You don't need this guy's approval. You don't need that person's approval. Don't get too close to that girl over there. It's not worth it. Get really close to this girl over here. In fact, marry her. Have some babies with her. Build a life with her. Your babies are not going to die, but they're going to live. If I've brought you here, I will sustain you. It's by God's grace and guidance that we're here. It's by God's grace and guidance that you are here, whether you realize it or not. This is not just about what God has brought you from. Some of you have been brought out of some deep pits. But maybe you're here like myself and you go like, my life hasn't been that bad. I can tell you, my life was great, has been great thus far. I've never had a pit that was too bad for me not to climb out of. My marriage has been blessed from the beginning. I've never been drunk, never been addicted. I've never done things that I was too far gone. But it's not because of my own acumen. It's not because I'm smarter than anybody. It's because of the grace of God, because he saved my grandparents and then he saved my parents. And now I was brought into this life of faith. And that's our hope for you. If you came from a place where you didn't have faith, and you didn't have God in your life, and now you're here, imagine what God is going to do in your kids' lives. Imagine what he's going to do in the coming generations. Here are the nuggets I want to leave you with, because I want to wrap up. This is why gratitude is important, because unbelief grows where forgetfulness sets in. When you forget your why, when you forget your reason, when you forget your commitment, when you forget why you're doing what you're doing, that's when unbelief sets in. You stop believing. Some of you can recall this because you've been in some fights, you've been in some painful situations where you had to walk away from things that simply didn't work anymore. If you've ever had to go through a painful divorce, it's painful. But it happens why? The relationship breaks apart and there's a moment where you just stop believing. There's no more sense of coherence in what's going on. Maybe a business went under. Maybe a relationship ended. And it happened because you forgot. And I don't mean just forgetting, I can't recall. I mean the forgetfulness was so deep. You've forgotten it for so long that your heart, your reason, and your motivation broke apart. They went in different places. I don't know if you've ever found yourself thinking, I don't know why I'm doing what I'm doing anymore. I had a reason, I had a heart, and I had a motive for it, and they were all together. Now there's no unity. Like, my mind is somewhere else, my heart is somewhere else, and my motives are gone. You forgot why you do what you do. And then you go through the routine. You stay married because you don't want to be alone. You raise your kids because that's what the law says you got to do. You know, you stay in your job because you need the money. You had a fire, you had a passion, you had a reason before, and now you can't quite recall, you can't quite feel that. Let me encourage you today. Before it's too late, embrace gratitude. This is why gratitude is important, because gratitude is to remember. To be grateful is to remember. When you recall, when you remember, when you take time to remember, not the pain, not the sorrow, not the bad experiences, but your sacrifice and why you sacrificed. Remember the beginning of your marriage when you said your vows and you were willing to do anything. I'll catch a grenade for you. I'll do anything. Get back to that. Get back to that passion. Get back to that reason. Remember when God first put a seed of a mission in your heart that you were called to do, something that your life was supposed to generate. Get back to that. And the way back to it is by gratitude. God, thank you. It's by remembering. God, thank you. So I want to call the band back up. And we're going to do some exercises today before we leave. We're running a little bit longer today, but I hope, is everybody okay? Can I have you here for 5 more minutes? Is that all right? Okay. Psalm 103, 2-5 says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. My hope is that your sacrifice, past and present, may be an offering unto God. Whether you're in need right now and you're asking for God, asking God for an answer, like David longing for that water, for that refreshment, because there's a thirst and a hunger in your heart for something. That you may offer it up to God, and you may be reminded that your life is His. May you offer your gratitude to God today. And like the psalm says, I believe you will be renewed, you will be restored, back to the youth, the vitality of your spirit will be increased. And you will get a sense today of a fresh start, so that in the next couple weeks, as you prepare for 2020, your spirit may be renewed and you can hit January 1st knowing that God is for you, that He's got you. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. 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 Amen.